Our specialty this Christmas has been joy. And for a couple of gatherings, we've talked about joy on purpose. The most popular Christmas carol of all time says, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing." The Christmas message from God is joy to the world, sustaining, resounding, deep, meaningful joy. See, this is yours through God's gift of Christ the Lord. My observation is that we as people have a tendency to pursue the lesser joy. I want to say a few words about them and our pursuit of them, our attraction to them. There's only so much joy available in the lesser joys. I think of them, or we might call them, the small J joys, if you know what I'm saying. See, we tend to search for joy in these lesser things, and when we do, we find some joy. Or something like joy. But without fail, that joy is short-lived. It is non-sustaining. It is without great depth. It does not have the ability to keep our joy quotient high. See, some lesser joys are found in relationships. Friendships, both holy friendships and unholy friendships, have joy for a season. They can only go so far toward sustaining what God would want sustained when we talk about joy. Even our own children, our own spouses, can only deliver so much joy. Some look to a career or business or financial success for joy, but they last for a season. If you notice, most of us tend to pursue the things that are satisfying to the eye, or to the ear, or to the taste buds. We want to taste, and we want to touch, and we want to smell. Because, listen, we are sensual people. And I mean that in a general way. We are generally sensual people. The senses are the prime motivators of our lives. We try food and drink and sometimes substances that pack a greater punch. But there's only so much joy found in food and drink and substances. They minister to the need of what we're looking for a while, but they don't bring an everlasting effect. Some joy is found in entertainment, things like music and movies and travel and clubs and sports. But the joy found there is not the deep joy we really need. Even religion falls short when it comes to making lasting joy. Besides all of that, the desire to have or achieve our personal wants most often takes charge of the drive of our lives. And we think this, if we could just attain, then we would be satisfied. We would have found joy. And I want to say all of these small J joys have something to offer, and they sustain for a while, but they all fall short when it comes to the depth and the breadth of the spiritual joy for which God has provided in the Christ of Christmas. A couple of weeks ago, we decided, as a definition of joy, this is a good one, that joy is the very presence of God in your life. And so in the happiest of times, the greatest of times, a night like night tonight when God is present, the joy is exuberant. And in the hardest of times, on a lonely, dark night of temptation, being friendless or being sick or being broken, the joy can remain through it all when God is present. Listen. Two scriptures tonight. John 1:14. Just listen. It says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and the only who came from the Father full of grace and truth. In John chapter 15, Jesus said to His disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." And then listen what He said. He says, "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." And so I can promise you that Jesus, the one we celebrate, He found joy in the presence of His Heavenly Father. And I can promise you that He wants us to have the same joy He had. That's what He said. And He wants that joy to be complete, mature, overflowing in us. And so tonight, let me bring that truth to light. And let me bring that truth to life. In Jesus, we have the incarnation of God's preeminent joy. Preeminent. That means that God's joy is above or before all other joys. His joy is superior. His joy surpasses all other joys. This is a consummate joy. This is an incomparable joy. This is an unrivaled, unmatchable, predominant chief of all joys that describes God's joy to the world. Incarnate joy. This joy is not simply an emotion changer. This joy is not simply a mood alterer. This joy is not a new attitude or a new way of seeing things. His joy, this joy, is incarnate. This joy became flesh and dwelt among us, and He is full of grace and of truth. This joy has a name. You see, at Christmas, God made it perfectly clear that in Jesus we have the joy above all joys. And so listen. God gave us a gift that lasts and lasts and lasts. God gave us a gift, the gift of joy in Christ that will take us to the grave. And even on our deathbed we can praise God, for we know what the future holds. It's not happenstance that the angels said they will call Him Emmanuel, which means God with us. See, that's what it says. It says Jesus is God with us. Earlier, we defined joy as the very presence of God in our lives. And now we learn that Jesus is God in our lives. Therefore, we can conclude that biblically defined, Jesus is our joy. So if you leave here saying, "You know what, I'm going to hold on to joy this Christmas," and joy is based on what you get or what you give or how the meal turns out or who shows up and doesn't show up by your invitation or just how it all fits together, then it'll fade away. You see, that's a small J joy. That's a lesser joy. But Christ never changes. He'll never leave us or forsake us. Now listen, this joy did not come simply and once on the night of the baby's birth. This joy grows to spiritually overtake, to spiritually conquer our lives. Peter said it this way. He said, "In Jesus we have inexpressible joy." And he was not looking at the baby in the manger, the preeminent incarnate joy, God's joy above all joys, who became flesh. He was looking at the full embodiment of the man who yielded his life on the cross and 30 years previous had yielded, had given his life, now writing to Christians of his day. And he says this, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, an inheritance that is imperishable, that is undefiled, that is unfading, that is kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time." And He says, "In this you rejoice. In this you find joy. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials." And He says, "Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him. And you rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory." I want to tell you, Jesus, my joy, carries me even when I don't think about Him carrying. Jesus, my joy, is greater than I could ever ask or imagine. He's greater than what I can describe. He is inexpressible. But you've got to know that He came. He was born. He lived that sinless life. He died on that cross. He was buried in the tomb, resurrected from the dead, ascended into heaven, and He's coming again. This is the same Jesus who is our joy. And lastly, I want you to try to grasp an idea. I want to implant this idea in your renewable mind. That's what the Scripture says our minds are. And listen to this one. In Jesus, we have indestructible joy. The lesser joys, the small j joys, all other joys wither away. The spiritual abiding joy of knowing Jesus never fades. This joy is indestructible. Unfulfilled dreams cannot diminish this joy. Disappointment in people cannot rob this joy from you. Untimely circumstances cannot dash this joy against the rocks. Even sin cannot overtake this joy, and Satan himself cannot banish God's conquering joy in Jesus. Once you have the joy found in Jesus, it cannot be destroyed. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices." He said, "You follow me, you'll cry while the world has joy, but you grieve." And He says, "You grieve, but your grief will be turned to joy." He says, "A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby's born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that the child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice and no one will take away your joy." Ever. My prayer and hope for you tonight is that you would experience this truth, that joy is the very presence of God in your life. These three words are most important: joy, Jesus, presence. You see, it's not in understanding joy. It's not in the ability to explain the fullness of God's joy who came at Christmas. It's in the experience of His presence where the difference is made. The joy that Jesus brought is from outside this world. He desires that His joy would be found present in us, and that our joy would be full. A good Christmas Eve prayer for you tonight would be, "Come into my life, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, the joy of all joys. Almighty Father, as we consider the preeminent incarnate joy of Jesus, knowing that it's beyond description, He is inexpressible, and He is indestructible. I pray, Father, for every man and woman, every boy and girl. Lord, if there would be one tonight who would come to the realization that they have sought joy in all the wrong places, and tonight say, God, I receive the joy of Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Lord, into my life. Father, let that be tonight, that one would come, that two, that more would come to know You. And Father, for those who are spinning their wheels in the lesser joys, I pray we would see the wisdom of the Word and that we would fully turn our attention to Jesus Christ, the joy above all joys. In His name we pray. It is Him whom we worship in His holy name.